terms of whether the jiva was with Krishna and he left that world and got envious of Krishna and came here, there may be some statements saying like that just to give some explanation. Sometimes but if you look at the totality of everything that's said, especially in the Gaudiya Siddhanta, and also if you look at the totality of everything Prabhupada said, of course it's very difficult to understand. Also Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explains that the origin of the jiva can really not be understood until one has a sanctified mind, and when he's actually a liberated soul, then he can have some perception of these very inconceivable topics about the origin of the jiva, which is what you're asking. But the general conclusion of everything Prabhupada says is that the conditioned souls were tatastha jivas, were nitya buddha, were eternally conditioned. You know, we've been in this material world and we're suffering, and we actually, you know, eternally we've been conditioned, and we actually emanate from Mahavishnu. Tatastha jivas come from Mahavishnu, and if you want to say we were with Krishna, then we can say yes, we were with Krishna in his form as Mahavishnu. And he exhales and everything comes into existence, and he inhales and everything is withdrawn in him, and all the jivas enter into a dormant state. Then when he exhales, and they come out and live past millions and millions of births and pass through different species. But this is just a whole material sojourn. But so there's really, as far as I understand, there's no question that we actually left, that we had a stayi bhav, because the meaning of stayi means standing or eternal, and his eternal relationship. Once that's established with Krishna, then it never breaks. And the whole spiritual world is based on love, especially Braja Gokul. And you can say in Dwarka there's a little bit of exploitation, or even in Vaikuntha there's some calculation. Even the devotees there are pure, but they're also thinking a little bit of their happiness. Like the queens of Dwarka, they're not as pure in their love as... They have prema, but their prema is not as pure or deep as the gopis, because they want to please Krishna, but they also want a little something for themselves. Although their object of service is not themselves, as Krishna, but they want to serve Krishna, and they have pure love, they're prema bhaktas. But it's called samanjasa. And samanjasa means like, there's samanjasa, samartha rati, samanjasa rati, and sadharani. So it means samanjasa. Sadharani means ordinary love. Like Kubja had that type of love. She had lust for Krishna, but she wanted to enjoy Krishna, but no one else. Her object of enjoyment was only Krishna. So therefore it was actually a type of rati, attachment, but she had some selfishness. And then there's samanjasa. Samanjasa is the queens of Dwarka. Their love is... means, I don't know exactly what, I forget what it means, but it means they have some calculation, sama anjasa, they want some equal, like, well, I love Krishna, but I also want a little something. And I have some, so there's some, a little bit of exploitation there, although it's not exploitation as we know it. And the gopis' love is called samartha. Samartha rati means everything, their only object, everything is for Krishna. And whether Krishna breaks their heart or crushes them or rejects them, they don't care. They always love him in any circumstance. They don't want anything for themselves. So the gopis are glorified as having the highest form of love. So the whole idea is that when you go to the kingdom of love, envy is the antithesis of love. So where everyone is in love with Krishna, and Krishna is in love with everyone, and love is the keynote, and there's no exploitation there, and there's no envy there. Envy is in this world. There's no envy in that world. So you can't become envious. You know, love means... Where there's love, there's no envy. So my understanding is that we didn't become envious of Krishna. No. What we have to do is we're conditioned souls, and we have to surrender to Krishna and serve him, and then by his mercy we can realize, attain a spiritual body and have the proper bhava. Bhava is and attain prema, then we can serve him eternally. As he, Krishna says, one who goes there never comes back. So we're in the material world, but when we go to the spiritual world, we never come back to the material world. So it doesn't make sense that we're there and we came there. It doesn't make sense. So it's like that. You know, lust, anger, and greed are always their enemies. There are three gates leading to hell: Trividam, Narakashid, and Trigvaram. So the whole how can you eliminate these anarthas from your heart fast? Well, Hare Krishna mantra is the fastest, the easiest, and the most powerful cleansing agent in the whole world. So Lord Chaitanya said, Chaito Dharvana Marjanam. It's a matter of cleansing consciousness, so there's no other way. Even if you do yoga or meditation or pranayama or gyan or study shastra, still these things won't leave us. But only by this bhakti bhajan, which is centered around chanting Krishna's name, will these things leave us. And we have to work on the opposites, like lust is conquered by love. Lust means the desire to exploit, to enjoy. So you conquer the desire to exploit and enjoy by serving and trying to give enjoyment to someone else. Try to please someone else and try to serve someone else. And then anger is the opposite of... And anger, you can direct it yourself. You should be angry that you didn't get up at 4 o'clock. direct your anger at yourself, not at your friends, and not at your boss or your employees or whatever. So you direct anger, well, why am I not advancing? Why am I not chanting nice rounds? I'm not serious. And lust, anger, and greed, we should be greedy to hear Hari Katha. We have greed to possess things and control things and have things and own things and eat, and there's so much greed is there. Well, we should be greedy to hear lectures and associate with sadhus, and greedy for sadhu sangha, and greedy to read. Oh, I'm so greedy, let me read more about Krishna. I'm so greedy, let me hear more in the car and in the bathroom and when I'm washing my clothes and when I'm lying down, when I'm resting, when I'm about to sleep, I listen to Hari Katha. Like last night, yesterday we recorded a lecture because people come and I started recording my talks so I can collect some lectures, because mostly I'm not going anywhere but people are coming here. So whether I go somewhere and speak or whether people come here and I speak, the same thing is there, I'm speaking. And if it's anything about Krishna, then it has value. So if it's about Krishna, I try to record it. If it's not, I turn off the tape recorder. So then I was about, the subject was about choosing guru, because this person was looking for a guru, one Russian devotee. And he had gone to see some Indian guru, and as soon as he got there, the follower said, look, you know, if you want, I'll get you initiated tomorrow, you know, by Gurudev. And he said, he told me, so I was amazed, I haven't even met the Gurudev, and then the disciples were ready to get me initiated. And then I said, yeah, it's like if you go somewhere, and you go somewhere and then there's some lady sitting in a room and a guy comes up to you and says, see that lady, want to marry her? I can get you married to her tomorrow. And you say, well, wait a minute, what's her name? I don't even... So he was a little turned off by that, although the guru may be highly qualified. So this discussion was about choosing gurus. So we recorded that for about an hour. We spoke and read some different things from Shastra. And then I thought, when I was going to sleep last night, I said, well, let me listen to this, because it's only this little eye river thing. So I put the earplug in, and I listened for about 10 minutes and fell asleep. It's good sleep medicine. If you can't fall asleep, just hear a Shastra. Read Shastra, and you're guaranteed to fall asleep. We have a joke like that in ISKCON, that if you can't sleep, then read the Bhagavatam. It's a good sleeping pill, and there's no side effects, and it doesn't cost anything. It's a joke, but it's kind of true. If you feel tired at night, just pick out the Bhagavatam and start reading, read a couple of verses, and, oh, I feel tired. Put the book by your pillow and have a nice, tight sleep, you know, very enjoyable sleep. One of the best sleeps you've ever had. So don't be bothered, don't give energy to these things. Like if there's something negative, like, for example, If you, of course, you're a lady, it doesn't happen so much. I don't think so. But sometimes boys, they meet some other boy when they're young, and the guy wants to fight. So we say it takes two to fight. So the guy stands there off, and he says, "Yeah, you stupid, this and that," and he insults you, and then you insult him, and then he maybe gives you a push or something. He just pushes your shoulder with his hand. Then you push him, and then pretty soon the fists are flying, and you got yourself in a big fight. But if the guy comes and says, "You stupid, this and that," you know, "Come on," you know, and he's trying to egg you on or encourage you, then he says, "Hey, look, I don't feel like fighting. I mean, there's no way I can fight you anyway, and just I'm not into it." And you just walk away, and then sometimes when you walk away, he even push you from the back. Say, "Hey, come on, you chicken, why didn't you fight?" And so he may push you, but you keep walking, and then he says, "Well, I guess no fun here." So then if you don't really interact and you go away, they say discretion is the better part of valor. So you really don't have a fight on your hands. And you don't get a bloody nose and a black eye and stuff. So the same way with lust, anger, and greed, when they come your way, you don't give them any energy. You don't fight with them, you just do more bhakti. You don't say, "Oh, this lust is coming, I'm feeling so lusty, and I'm thinking about these men and this and that and all these bad thoughts or whatever." And say, "Oh, just, I know, I sh-," and the thoughts are pulling your mind this way or that way, negatively or wrongly or sinfully. So then you just don't give them any energy. Don't fight with them. Just do bhakti. So I should just chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, or pray to the Lord Nrisimhadev. Nrisimhadev is a great Vigna Vinashan, Bhakti Vigna Vinashan. He destroys the obstacles to bhakti. So devotees often take shelter of Nrisimhadev when they feel oppression. When they feel oppression of material desires or the material energy weighs heavy on them. Especially, you know, you're a young person and, you know, naturally lust is there too much in a young person. And you're feeling frustrated because of unfulfilled lust. So when you get unfulfilled lust, then you get frustrated, and frustration becomes anger. And then when you become angry, then that anger needs some outlet, so then you become greedy. So anger is expressed in greed by eating too much or going out and buying some useless thing just to cool off your greed. Go and buy some candy or food or soda or clothes or any kind of damn thing. So they all go together, lust, anger, and greed. They're like three triplets. So when you become, you should be lusty to, you know, hear about Krishna, and look at Krishna's form and Radharani's form and meditate on their marks on their feet. And there's different ways you can turn your attention. It's a matter of focusing your attention to higher thoughts and higher activities, which means spiritual practices. So there's books to read, there's mantras to chant, there's bhajans to sing, there's prayers. Prayers are always valuable and very powerful. Super soul hears the prayers. And when you're being attacked, then you can pray more sincerely. So when you feel the attack of lust, anger, and greed, then your prayers take on a good degree of sincerity. When children adopt the position of trying to preach to the parents, then the parents turn a deaf ear and become rather aggressive and take an opposing view. Even they go so far as to say, "Who do you think you are to tell me, or what do you know? You don't know anything. You're wet behind the ears." you may have a PhD in computer science, and your father doesn't even know how to turn on a computer, and he finally gets one, and you try to tell him some things. He says, "What are you trying to tell me?" And you have a PhD in computer science, and he won't even accept that you know more than he does. That's their ego. So parents, you have ego also, and your parents have ego. So parents' ego is like supreme over child's ego. So you should have learned that lesson by now. That's what they, in the Bible they say, don't throw your pearls before swine. Swine means sewer. It's almost the same word. Sewer means pig. So because if you give them pearls, they'll think it's just little nuts or something, and they'll eat them up. They'll just grind them up and turn them into stool. So that's not appreciated. You know, if you have a 1 lakh pearl necklace and you give it to a pig and he turns into a stool, you won't appreciate that. You can't put that on your neck anymore. So if you give a good instruction to a pig, then they'll just turn it into stool. So there's a lot of pig-like people out there. They may even have the position of being mother or father. Even our own so-called dear mother and father may be just like pigs in terms of their consciousness, or their outlook may be rather piggish. And so you tell them, you give them some pearls. Sometimes they use this term, pearls of wisdom. You must have heard that. It's often a common phrase, pearls. Pearls of wisdom, gems of wisdom, because wisdom is a real valuable thing. So you give them some wise counsel and they just eat it up and turn into stool and then make them fool of you also in their eyes. And they insult you and make you feel bad and then you cry and hang up the phone. So it's better to avoid these non-devotee type of people and just keep everything on a social level. Hello, how are you? Fine. Everything's fine. Yes, you're eating. Yes, I'm eating 6 times a day. I'm fine. And I'm sleeping 12 hours and I'm making lots of money. And then they'll be happy, you know. Just do, when in Rome, do as the Romans. So the main thing about parents is to keep them happy. And all they want, and it's easy to keep parents happy because they just want to hear the children are well fed, they're making money, they're happy, everything's fine, and they're married or about to get married, or they have 3 boys or checking out or whatever. So just say, yeah, I have a nice guy I'm working on, this and that, and then that. I think parents is like it's one of those taboo things, you know. ISKCON is that. I mean, ISKCON is a huge organization. A lot of people like it. A lot of people hate it. It's like anything. A lot of people like America. A lot of people hate it. A lot of people like the BJP. A lot of people hate it. Anything big has lots of, you know, supporters and lots of antagonists. So ISKCON's big. Prabhupada gives a formula for family raising. He said, from the time the child's born until he's 5 years old, you should give him anything and everything, whatever he wants. Daughter or son. All food, and let him eat 100 times a day, everything. Then at the age of 5, you should start, you know, correcting him and teaching him some principles of respect of superiors and don't slap your uncle on the nose and all this kind of stuff. Then from 5 to age of puberty, you should correct him and chastise them and try to raise them properly. Although you love them, but you're a little more strict. Then when they enter puberty, boy or girl, then you become like friends. You become very close to them because it's a hard time for boy and girl at that time. So much hormones and mental and emotional, physical disturbances and agitations. So if their parents are aloof or distant from them, then they don't know where to turn. They just turn to some boyfriend or girlfriend and get pregnant or get in trouble or whatever. So the mother and father should become very, very like friends. Like first they're suppliers. They give everything. They just fulfill any desire the child has up to 5. Then after that they become 5 to 12, let's say 5 to 12 or 7 years. Then they become disciplinarians. They start inflicting discipline and say, "Well, my father, the superiors, and they're above me." And then when they enter puberty, then you become equal, like a friend. So I know what you're going through, you know, I was a teenager and this and that. You know, then you try to, you know, the daughter's having a period and then she can talk to her mother, what's going on? And then they become like friends. So this is Prabhupada, he said this is the formula for proper child raising. But most parents never study with Prabhupada, so they're just kind of impersonal. It's the age of impersonalism. So the children grow up pretty weird anyway. Anyway, just chant Hare Krishna and put your energy into bhakti. And Krishna, you have a new family anyway. Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Dana Pran, Shadavan Janahe, Shadavan Janahe. O men of faith, you should understand, Shadavan, O those who possess faith, that your father is Krishna, your mother is Krishna, and the wealth of your life is Krishna. So reveal your mind to Krishna and offer your prayers to Krishna and pray to Krishna for his mercy. And if you need anything, ask Krishna. And if you have any problems, pray to Krishna. So he's really good. He's a good father and a good mother. Very loving, very compassionate. He embraces you. He's embracing you more than anybody. Even when you're asleep, he's embracing you. When you sleep, if you're embracing someone and you fall asleep in their arms and you stop embracing them, because your arms go limp, you know, because you know there's no conscious energy going there, so your arms fall off to the side. But Krishna, even when you sleep, Krishna's embracing you because he's in your heart. He's embracing you heart to heart as a super soul, Paramatma. So no one can have a tighter, be involved with you in a tighter relationship than Krishna. He's embracing you heart to heart at every moment. But we let go and we fall asleep and we forget about Krishna. But he's always there